The Holy Gospel according to St. John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent." So they said to Jesus, "What sign are you going to give to us then, so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'God gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said this to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I love the challenge of optical illusions. You know, where you can look at one picture and it looks one way, but if you look at it for a while, it tweaks and looks another way. It's all about a matter of perspective. When I walked in last evening to worship and I saw that folks had masks on, we definitely had two different perspectives. I was like, "Oh my stars, I should have never told them." And quickly, I'm so sorry, Steve? Oh, good, I got it. Quickly, Steve said, "Wait, we're doing this because of the CDC. And I went, "Okay, I hope so." It's all a matter of perspective, right? How we see pictures, how we see life events. There's one perspective. If we want a real life example, just look to the Olympics. Simone Biles. The world was all expecting her to do these great things, and then she withdrew from the competition. Haters were tweaking and twittering and doing all of this stuff on social media, saying terrible things about her. Yet Simone and the coach knew the real truth. They knew that the twisties, I never heard that word before, had you? But they explained and educated me on the twisties are real life and life-threatening to the one flying through the air that loses their perspective. They can't tell where they are. They don't know if they're going to land on their head or their back, on the mat, or beside on the floor. And it's very life-threatening. Matter of perspective. if we understand the twisties or not. Today we hear a few different situations in which people have differing perspectives than God. From our Hebrew scripture reading from Exodus, the Israelites are grumbling. They have a different perspective than God. The Israelites apparently believe that they are going to die out in the desert. From our gospel reading, John, we hear that the crowds are grumbling. They're hungry for breakfast, which is why they journeyed across the lake to find Jesus. And Jesus reminds them that they're hungry for more than food for their stomachs. They're hungry for food that is eternal and lasts. The scripture reading from Exodus is the second of three stories, boom, 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 right in a row in these chapters. The Israelites have been grumbling for all three stories. The first and the third story, they're grumbling for water. All of their grumbles are about needed and necessary things for survival. Water, we can't live long without it. We get to this story, and they're grumbling for food. And these stories are not just any kind of grumble, because God is happy to hear our complaint. As it were, God has some of the broadest shoulders around to carry our burdens. God is happy for us to share our wounded hearts, unjust circumstances. God yearns for us to share the truth, even in our complaint. But these stories are not that kind of grumbling. Yep, they're complaining. But just 1 month earlier, they had been graciously delivered from captivity in Egypt. Miraculously, the Red Sea parted. And when they grumbled the first time, when they got on the other side and they wanted something to drink, they were given rock, water from a rock, as Moses took his staff and struck that rock. Do they have a short memory or what? I can usually remember things from 1 month back. How about you? Pardon me. The desert is a difficult place and time to live. The folks longed to go back to the way things were, even though the reality was things in Egyptian captivity were not good. Well, they were less than not good. They were oppressive. They did not have any freedoms. Yet, they wanted to go back to the way things were. I wonder if that's human nature, to go back to our yearnings for how we remember the way things were. The desert is an uncharted waters in nautical terms, with uncertainty around every corner. Truly, they did not know how to survive in the desert. I guess they didn't take Boy Scout training or whatever it is to get their Weebelows or their Eagle Scouts to know what to do in the desert. Their skill, their perspective of circumstances and abilities that they had were literally not enough to survive in the desert. The only resource in the barren desert is to trust fully and completely upon God. But human nature, as we see in the Bible time and time and time again, that such total trust and obedience of God is very rare, even for the most faithful disciples. Three things happen in the desert: grumbling, complaining, that is. God is gracious in response, and God tests the grumblers. Take notice of how God responded to the grumblers. God does not punish the people for lack of trust, for doubting. God realizes human nature. God understands our honest presence of doubts. I mean, let's face it, what God does sometimes is very illogical. God tells them what he's going to do in Exodus to provide food enough for each day, and God gives them instructions of how to do it. No hoarding, no pride, no powering up. Just take what is yours day by day. Do you remember that song from the story of Godspell? It's a musical. Now a lot of high school productions put it on in a very contemporary way. The story, the song Day by Day from that musical goes like this. Day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray: to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. Day by day. Testing in the desert, when God is using that as in the text of it in Exodus, is not about trial and tribulation. Testing is not about seeing if people are worthy of God's love. God already desires graciously to love humanity. God's test of folks in this Exodus text is about helping the people to grow in their trust of God, in their resiliency, in their reliance upon God in faith. It is so people with our human nature of mistrust can learn obedience. Trust God daily for what we need. How's that working for you? Trusting God daily to give us our provisions, our daily bread. You know, I thought I knew what God desired for us to trust in God. I thought I knew what that meant, to lean on God for our daily bread. I really thought I was very faithful all those years that I worked as a congregational pastor, almost 30 of them. Then after that time, I took the plunge finally. It took me 10 years. Even though I was working in the church, I had a salary, I had parsonage, I had health benefits, I had all of those things. 10 years I was in the church, and I knew that God was calling me to something else. But I was a single parent, and at that time, during those 10 years, I had one in high school and another in college, then both in college, and then we all three were in upper education. Just didn't seem like the time to take the risk. I was told by financial advisors, if I was going to start my own ministry, Living Streams Flowing Water, that I needed to show them my 10-year business plan so they could approve it. The reality is, I didn't know how to do a 10-year business plan the way they wanted. So they advised me also not to start up a business without having at least 2, 3 to 5 years money in the bank to be able to live on while starting up that business. But I heard God's voice. I heard their advice, and I really have respect for them. And even 6 years, 7 years ago, when I was doing this, I had respect for them in good fashion with bargaining with God. 2 o'clock one morning, as God awakened me, and I slid down on the side of the bed and sat on the floor, and I was holding an icon of Jesus, and I was talking with Jesus, and I was saying, I know what you've called me to. But really, in good fashion, I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, then you better very clearly, because I'm a little dense sometimes, very clearly show me, step by step, how you want me to do this. So every day for 6 months, I took 6 months out of being a pastor. No preaching, no anything that looked like serving a congregation. 6 months I prayed daily and I said, what do you want me to do today, Jesus? And I sat there and waited until I heard, do this. I said, oh, okay, that's simple. I can do that. And the next day I would say, holding that little icon, what do you want me to do, dear, today, Jesus? So then the next 6 months after we got the website going and started, I sat there every day with Jesus. What do you want me to do this day? I'm here. What should I do? Within the first year, we went full-time, salary-wise, with the provisions of God, because I lost my house and my pension and my salary and my health insurance. Many business folks kept coming to me outside the church, who understand startup businesses. And they said, businesses fail within the first year. How did you go full-time in the first year? What was your marketing strategy? And in all earnestness, not knowing what they're Christian, not Christian, whatever, I would say to them, I don't mean to sound flippant. Jesus was the only strategy I had. I don't know how to do marketing beyond church to get folks in to worship. That was 6 years ago. Now we have an international ministry that extends across the U.S. to Singapore, South Korea clients, the Philippines. I've been invited to Africa, but I confess to you, I'm hesitant to go for health reasons. Sometimes I still get tempted to worry when clients finish their time and they're ready to move on. When a gig is completed, you know, it might be just one shot, it might be 6 months, it might be a year, whatever the gig is, I get tempted to worry about what's next. But instead of giving in to that temptation, to trying to control and tell people, looking like maybe they'll give me something, I, like the Israelites, are called to go day by day, trusting in God's provisions. And just like the Israelites and the crowds around the lake shore talking with Jesus, God desires to produce within God's people ever-deepening trust and relationship with God, ever-increasing understanding of who God's character is and how God longs to lavish us day by day by day with God's provisions. The desert is not a positive place from the human perspective. It's harsh. It changes our routines. There's potential for terrific suffering and hunger and thirst in the desert. And I can imagine that the folks that wandered in the desert for 40 years may have gotten a bit tired of eating quail and manna. They may have wanted their diet changed up a little bit. But from God's perspective, the desert is a positive place for the Israelites to learn to trust more and more in obedience to God. Do y'all know that song, Trust and Obey? That's what God does for us during pandemic, during deserts, during times of our own lives of disorientation, when we don't know the ways to turn. You know, I believe we've had dual pandemics over the past year. Yes, the COVID health pandemic, we all agree on that. But I think it's no coincidence of the systemic racial injustice, the violence, the racism pandemic, of protests, the new deaths of people of color, and the protests of Black Lives Matter. I wonder how this time in history could be like a desert time when we're being taught more and more deeply reliance upon God. How are we doing day by day? We who have been redeemed through the death and resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, how are we being tested each day to be more nearly conformed, that is, shaped on the inside of our attitudes and our mannerisms, into Christ-likeness, so that we can answer Paul's question from the book of Ephesians of our reading today? How are we living a life worthy of our calling? That's not just about ordination or about my work. It's about how we as people live our Christian lives, shaped more and more like Christ. We must be on guard as to not to judge others by our own experiences, our understandings of faith in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God has come upon earth as it is in heaven, but, very big pause here, not yet fully realized. So we live in this place of disorientation and conflict and are called to be shaped on the inside more like Christ. How is this a moment of seeing beyond the surface of our neighbor, to see the incarnation of Christ in the other? To notice, regardless of language or skin tones or dress or socioeconomic level, that the one standing before us is Christ. There's a 14th century philosopher and mathematician, you may have heard of him, Blaise Pascal. He wrote, "There is a God-shaped emptiness within us that only God can fill. We cannot forget that Christ alone is our bread and our drink. Christ is our truest need for survival. God is training us during this historic time to look at the bigger picture and not just our own needs, as the Israelites did. Did they really believe God would let them die in the desert from hunger? Apparently, yes. They did not look past their own needs. Today, God is moving more and more lavishly and deeply among humanity as the world has become united, even in our conflict, all struggling with pandemic, with the new variants rising. Today, let us celebrate as we come to table to be nourished with the true bread of life. Thanks be to God for God's provisions in the midst of the desert. Amen.